Romans chapter 8 and make an announcement. Next Step Resource Center, it's a pregnancy center down in Dunlap. It's going to have their walk to raise support. That's October 22nd, 2022. So there's a registration here. We want to be a part of that if we can. So that'll be something next coming up for the church to be a part of. Is there anybody in here that's against abortion? Okay, great. Well, there's one thing that I learned a long time ago about being against abortion is you better have another solution, okay? If you're going to be against abortion, when I am completely, but have another answer. Don't just be against something, have an answer for somebody. And one answer we'd be able to give is the pregnancy center right down here in Dunlap, because they can help a young mother or a young family have resources and help. So you're not just telling them to have a baby and they go home and they don't have any food, no diapers, no resources. So this is an important thing that I want to be a part of as a church, and gives us another footprint down in Dunlap. So remember, this will be out in front of the office. There's some brochures out there that will cover more information for you. But please sign up and be a part of that. Me and Melissa, we've been to the last couple of them. The last one got canceled for COVID. But as far as the fundraising part, but we will be a part of that. So be in prayer of that, and it'll give us a solution to some of the problems. Amen. Romans chapter 8, that's where we're going to be again tonight. Then ultimately we'll get over to Luke chapter 8, and somewhere around verse 26. I don't know if you're enjoying this, and it was kind of neat for me. God kind of dropped this on me about 7-8 days ago, about teaching and preaching on the Holy Spirit, and then come to find out Gary and his class are just starting a new book in their class on the Holy Spirit. So it's kind of God just kind of tying that together. I make this bold statement. It's not to a believer. Without the Holy Spirit, you can't be saved. You're not saved, okay? If you don't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you're not saved, amen? The Holy Spirit is God on the inside of you. That's the only way that you can live as a believer, amen? You can't will yourself. You can't make yourself. I've been in great opportunities to go and speak with, evangelists and missionaries and pastors. And I knew one pastor, he kept saying he couldn't preach a revival on Wednesday night because he had to go back to his church over near Cleveland. They said, why? He goes, because I got to be back over there. I got to make my people go to church. And I was like, man, I don't ask him. I'm like, wow, you got to make them? He's like, if I ain't there, they won't show you. I mean, I got to make them. I'm like, wow. I'm like, man, you're the reason? What happens when you don't? Well, what happens when you die? Hey, man. There's something in here should make you do everything you do. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right. Y'all might not believe me. Let's get into Word. But we stopped on 11. I want to read that again. And then I'm going to give you the commentary, the illustration that God's given me the opportunity to use tonight by the way of the demonic man. I preached it a million times, and I don't mind to preach it again for the illustration. Romans 8:11. But if, and y'all knew what I said this weekend about these ifs. The ifs are there to really help you evaluate whether you're in the faith or not. Amen? Do an examination on yourself. Find out whether you're in the faith. And if you're in the faith, then these things will start to make sense to you. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. Verse 11 says right there, all of a sudden there will be a new man on the inside. He'll give you new life, new ideas, new thoughts. There will be a new voice. You might want to write down there on verse 11, you might want to make a note right there, there will be a new voice on the inside. It will not be louder than your flesh, but it will sound so radically different than your flesh that you'll be sitting there going, who are you? Amen. I can remember when I first got saved and filled with the Spirit of God. I remember when I started trying to operate in my old ways and my old thoughts and my old thing. And all of a sudden I'd hear that still small voice, that little bitty Holy Spirit voice who would say, do something contrary. Man, do something contrary. Okay, I'll be real, real and transparent with you. Okay, go over here and sit down with these ladies who are not your wife and you like to talk to and flirt with at work. okay? Let's be real and transparent right here. You know what would happen? The Holy Spirit would say, go sit by yourself. That was weird. In a workplace for me, that was weird. I still call that place my Egypt, Plant W.E., where I first got saved. I remember walking away from groups of people because I couldn't handle the interactions and God would move me around the room. Amen. I can still remember the first time God said, pray over my food at work. That was fun. I prayed with one eye open. I didn't even know what I was doing. God, thank you for this food. Thank you, amen. I think somebody's seen me. Amen. But there is still a small voice. It will change who you are. It will change what you do. It will change your operation. You'll know when you have been born again because there all of a sudden there's an operation on the inside that is wrestling against your old man. It is a fight from that day, praise God, that day till the end of your life. Amen. I remember preaching down in Arkansas at this huge church, and at the end of it, I preached a radical message in there. Amen. All of a sudden, there's a 65-year-old woman come to me. I give her 65. She might have been 67 or 68. And she came to me, and she said, brother, she said, I still struggle in some of those same areas you're talking about. Every day it's a battle. She said, I hope you don't think that somehow you're going to reach a certain place and time in your life that you're not going to have a struggle in your flesh. Because you will not. Amen. You will fight this until you take your last breath. Amen. Some of y'all might want to write that down, but ain't you glad there's a fight going on? Amen. That's what I'm glad of. I'm glad there's a fight going on. I don't always win. I'm getting better at it. I'm not the same man I used to be when I got saved. God has changed a whole lot, but praise God. Some days I'm just glad there's a fight going on. Amen. I used to be pushed around by my sin and my flesh everywhere I wanted to do. I did. When God moved in, praise God, there is a fight and we win. Amen. God, well, I'm going to preach until y'all start saying amen. All right? I've said amen 4 times already. I ain't got nothing on the books. All right, let's get. He raised up Christ from the dead, shall also quicken your mortal bodies by the Spirit that dwelleth in you. You start to be alive. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, and you sisters too. Sorry, that's not in there. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. We don't owe nothing to the flesh. Amen. You might want to write this down. There's nothing back there that you should want. There's nothing back there that you should say, I wonder if I go back and do that again, will there be a better result? I said this last Sunday. Scott reminded it to me. I don't have a PhD. I don't. I have one in sin. And when somebody tries to tell me about a sin and they say, well, you don't know, I go, whoa, whoa, whoa. I don't know a lot of things, but I do know how sin works. I know what the payday for sin is because I've cashed a lot of them. It's death. And don't try to sell me death. You can sell me life, but you can't sell me no death. You can't come to me and say, hey, look, I know God's word says this is wrong, but for some reason I believe God wants me to do it anyway, and it's going to work out good. You're crazy as you can be. Amen? You're crazy. Because what's going to happen is something's going to die. And it's probably the thing you can least afford to die. You want me to say that again? It's the thing you can least afford to die. I guarantee when Adam and Eve, when they committed their first sin, they weren't thinking about their youngest child dying. And they weren't thinking of it as their oldest child killing them. If the devil had laid that out to them and says, hey, the day you eat of this, you shall surely die. And before that day that you shall surely die, your oldest son's going to kill your youngest son. They would have went, no thank you. No thank you. When that check comes, you don't want to spend it because you know what? You're sitting there going, this is not what I signed up for. The devil will say, no, it is. It is what you signed up for. But I love this right here. We are not debtors, not to the flesh, to live thereafter. Man, I don't want to live in my flesh anymore. And every time I convince myself, I might as well just preach right there for a minute. I don't have to have a whole lot of people sell me on that stuff. I was sinning before I even was taught how to sin. Amen. You want to see if anybody, you get the prettiest little girl you ever seen in your life. 3-year-old, 4-year-old, 5-year-old, blonde hair, blue eyes, put her in a sundress, put flowers in her hand, put her out on the grass and all, and go out there and just do this. Hey, young lady, whatever you do, you can do anything you want to do, but don't go right over there. Don't go over there. And then go back in the house or go back wherever you was doing and don't pay the, you know, I'll guarantee you in about 10 minutes she'll just, them flowers be dropped. And you'll go out there and look for, where you at? Right where I'm not supposed to be. That's our nature. That's who we are. Amen? But after you come out of that nature, praise God, you don't have to live there any longer. You better want to escape more than anybody else. You should run from sin more than anybody else does. I don't have to have nobody tell me what sin is. I don't have nobody tell me what wrong is, because praise God, I know it. Verse 13, for if ye live after the flesh, do you see that right there? This is an absolute truth in here. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. 13, you might want to put this in your phone, in the notes. Amen. I found that note out about 5 years ago, things that I don't forget. At first, I've had like 4 of them in there. Now I got 4,000, if that's a number. Because I would just think every once in a while, I would think to myself, I better type that in there or I'll forget it. I have to do that more and more. Some of y'all got them locked minds. I mean, y'all are good, but I ain't. For if you shall live after the flesh, ye shall die. If you are living after your flesh, if your flesh is driving your life, you will die. Your spiritual man will die. You will die. The things around you will die. Your relationships will die. Your name will die. Everything about you is dying. That's a fact. I don't care if everybody in this world gets up behind you and goes, don't worry. Don't think about it. Don't even, man, you're fine. That's okay. It's different now. 2022, that's okay. If it's sin, you're going to die. If it's in the flesh, you're going to die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. You know what it says right there? I hate that. You got to put to death. You got to treat it just like it is. Nobody preaches like this hardly anymore. Sometimes you got to put that stuff to death yourself. You got to go to extreme measures when it comes to sin. There's some people who have caught me over the years. They'll say, what are you doing? I can't go there. I can't do that. I can't be around that person. I don't carry that. I wouldn't. Man, there was times where I wouldn't go to certain places because they had a bar in the restaurant. And said, why won't you go? Don't know if I can handle it. Don't know if I can handle it. Well, golly, when will you ever be able to handle it? Don't know, don't care. Don't know, don't care. I mean, it don't really matter. If I'm not at the bar, though, guess who's winning? Guess who ain't showing up on the police blotter? Guess who's in the I'm not busted deal? Amen? Guess who's not losing their relationships? This guy. I heard, man, that is very elementary. That's very childish, the way to think about it. So, yeah, but it kept me going in my faith for the last 16, 17 years. Amen? Call it simple, call it stupid. But call me free. Amen. Have you got some of those things yet? Man, if you don't, praise God, start working on it. Hey, I got some things in my life, man, you would think I'm crazy. I used to do I had to make it so simple I could understand it. Still tell people that in recovery. I tell people my recovery program, how I worked on certain things. And they'll go, man, that's silly. I'm like, yeah, but guess what? About 17, 18 years. Amen. You might want to put some of them out there. What's right here? You shall live. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Man, led by the Spirit of God. God's Spirit will tell you to do things that you in your flesh would not do. And it is amazing. I'm just going to go ahead and preach this the way it should be preached to you. When He says it, your flesh will be the first one that says, that's stupid. That's weak. Amen? You will look like a fool doing that. You're like, wait a minute, but God's saying to do it. I'd rather look like a weak fool, amen, and not very smart than to do it in my own self and prove all those things to be true, amen, because I'm going to end up weak. I'm going to end up foolish. I'm going to end up in trouble, amen? I love that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I love having a daddy. I love that. Let me give you that next verse. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. So I love when that fear part puts in there, and everybody goes right there and says, do you have anxiety? Do you have fear? That's not the same. When you get a bunch of sin in your life is ran by fear. And you know what usual, let me go ahead and give you this illustration. You know what fear usually manifests itself out as? Anger. Anger. The maddest people I've ever seen in my life are usually the fearfulest people I've ever met in my life, who are also the most sinful people in my life that I've encountered. You ever break that chain, you ever break that cycle, you ever break that down, that anger gets broke, that fear gets broke, guess what? That sin gets broken, and praise God, there's a joy, a peace, and a love that comes down that line. And you sit there and go, where'd you first find that out? In the boys' home. Where did you follow that up with? In a men's recovery center. Where'd you find that out in? Homeless shelters. Where'd you find that out? Ministering to men for the last 17 years of my life. All of these things are cyclical. All they are is a big cycle, and until you break them, they continue for generation to generation to generation. How do you get back to it? Break the sin. Find out where it's at. Then you don't have this huge fear of not having a father, not having a mother, not having correct relationships, not having sufficient food, not having sufficient home, not having anybody to care. So what do? You start living in this fear of losing everything. And the next thing you know, you're angry at everybody. We have a big problem in this society today. Most people in their 25-year range, 25 years old, the number one thing they say they are worried about the most is they are fearful. And I'm not preaching out of a boldness right here to you, out of this right here, but I'm telling you right now, at 16 to 30, I wasn't afraid of nothing. I'm being honest. I look back on some of the stuff I did between 16 and 30, I should be dead 20,000 times over. I mean, I signed up for a job when I was 17 years old to jump out of a 250-foot crane with a string tied around my feet just to sail the jumps. And everybody that worked there was high. We need somebody to go up and jump. They won't nobody jump if you don't jump. How much am I getting paid? $20 a jump. Sign, all right, hook me up. I'm sitting up there in the tallest part of Atlanta. Crosby, Stills, and Nash was the band. There was about 4,000 people letting out of there, and they was all looking at it, but there wasn't nobody getting in the seats. Guess what? They took me all the way up in the top of the crane, and I'm sitting up there in the wind. That thing's blowing side to side like this. I'm like, y'all got insurance? No. All right. Is the crane operator good? I don't even know if he's paying attention. How high are we up? 250 feet. Where's the landing place? I can't see it. Are we going to jump? Jumped every time. You know why? Because at that age, I wasn't afraid of nothing. I didn't even think I could die. I was thinking, well, if the cord breaks, I'll still maybe land in the bag. Come to find out, the bag wouldn't even support anybody at all. It was just for show. Never mind. That's a whole nother mess. They didn't tell me that until I quit the job. I was dumb. Did I tell you the part where I was dumb? Where am I at? Verse 3. What am I? Where am I at? 12, 13, 14. Men of milk, thank you. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. That Abba, Father. You know what that word right there, Abba, Father, is? In Jewish, that's daddy. Man, that's not father. That Abba, that's daddy. Man, I'm telling you right now, man, that is a sweet. I know that. I know it from both ends, and I didn't know it from both ends then, but I know it. Like when I have my worst fear, my first, when I was a kid, I'm daddy. You know what I'm saying? I want my daddy. Because I thought my daddy could whoop anybody, take anybody. It didn't matter. He was the safest thing I knew, right? And then now I was on the other end, I'm somebody else's daddy. They run to me, right? So, daddy. So we run to God, our Father. Amen. Ain't that that's a great thing. So let's go over to Luke chapter 8 and verse 26. And I'm not going to try to preach all this tonight. I know it's Wednesday night, and there's a lot. There's about three main things that I want to get out of this for you as an illustration tonight, and want to show you some things. This is what it looks like. I'm not saying this man was filled with the Holy Spirit, but when Jesus was on the face of this planet, he is one part of the Godhead, just like the Holy Spirit is. So the same operation Jesus is the Spirit is, and the Father is, okay? So when Jesus was in the presence of this man, he was acting as if the Holy Spirit was in this man because he's one part of the Godhead and he's there. Does that make sense to you? See, Jesus can only be God to whoever he was around. He said, it's expedient for me to go away that you might receive the Comforter. That way the Holy Spirit can be in each person. Does that make sense to you now? So this person I'm giving you an illustration of is he experienced one part of the Godhead right in front of him. So I'm going to do a little bit more reading right here. I'm going to try to get to two or three points, and then we'll get out of here. In verse 26, Luke 8, 26. I'll give you all a second if I... And they arrived to the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And he went forth to the land, and there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils a long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode any house, but in the tombs. Verse 27, I wrote this note down today. Dead men tell no tales. Amen. Sin, when you're deep in sin, the thing that you want to be around is people who will not condemn you, convict you, speak to you, speak truth into your life. What you want is yes people. What you want are people that says, everything's okay, keep doing what you're doing, or here's the next level of that, dead people. Because if you ride with dead people, ain't nobody going to say nothing to you. Amen? When I read that, I love this so much. That's where sin, and every time I preach about this guy, we somehow in the Bible, we look at this scripture and we go, man, what happened to that guy? Have you ever seen anybody in your life when you see him, you go, what happened to them? What happened to them? You know what happened to them? They kept going in sin. And it could happen to anybody. When this man was born, his mom and daddy had plans for him. He probably played like any other kid. He'd done what he'd done with. He was just like anybody else. Probably thought, he probably heard some stuff when he was a kid. And they say, you'll end up doing crazy stuff, like running around naked, living up in the tombs, cutting yourself, being a fool, breaking out of jail. He probably said this when he was about 10 or 11 years old. He probably said, that ain't never going to be me. That ain't never going to happen to me. And one decision and one choice, and one decision and one choice, led to another thing and another thing. And next thing you know, it piled up on him. That when we look at people, we don't need to look at people and go, man, how'd they end up that way? We should look at people and say, Jesus can still get them out of the mess they're in. Jesus can still rescue them if we allow it. If we would share the gospel, share Jesus and the power of him. Amen? So we see this in verse 29. No, I didn't get that far. And he arrived in the country of the Gadarenes and went over. Okay, in the tombs. Verse 28. And when he saw Jesus, he cried and fell down before him with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee? Jesus, thou Son of the Most High, beseech thee, torment me not. I read this, I don't know where I read this other day, but here's a man who had 2,000 demons and recognized Jesus. And there's people that had over 2,000 and thousands of scriptures and didn't recognize him. Ain't that amazing? For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of a man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep. And there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain, and they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. And when the devils went out of the man, they entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down into a steep place, into the lake, and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they that went out to see what was done came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. I love this part right here because guess what? Here's the man who was living in the tombs because he wanted to be around death because he couldn't speak into his life. Now he's had an encounter with Jesus Christ, and he's sitting in his right mind, clothed at the feet of life. Amen? At one moment, he's sitting in a tomb. He don't want to be around nothing but death. Probably told people, I don't want nothing but death. Yet, but when life came to him, he is totally opposite of what he was, and he is sitting in his right mind, clothed at the feet of Jesus. Man, this is what an amazing thing. Here's a man who was just in the worst shape you could possibly be in the time it took them to leave and run around the cities and the towns saying, the demonic man is out here and Jesus is meeting with him. They come back and the worst problem they have, let's go back and say this, the person they like to criticize the most, the person they would compare themselves to and say, at least you're not that guy, is now clothed in his right mind, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Man, I love that. Man, look at that contrast. Sitting in death, now he's sitting in life. Sitting in darkness, now he's sitting in the light. Naked, clothed. Out of his mind, in his mind. That tells me God can take care of every need you got. I mean, God met every need he had. And he's sitting in his right mind. And it said they came out and seen it and they were afraid. Afraid of what? That's the first response you get. They were afraid. They were afraid because guess what? If God can fix him, he can fix me. If God can do that to him and take and put him under control, he could put me under control. And you might want to write this down. Maybe I don't want to be under control. Maybe there are some people in our lives that we know about. We wonder why they won't come to Jesus. We wonder, they're good people. They do good things. They say right stuff. They've done. But maybe they just don't want to be under the control of God. Maybe they like doing life their way. Man, that's a choice. It's tough. That's hard to swallow. You want to tell them. You want to say, good, I know what the demonic man was saying. This is amazing. You need this. But you know what I love? Can we unpack this real quick? Can y'all see this? How much is that demonic man worth to Jesus? How much is he worth? Everything. The royal diadem. Yeah, he won sheep. He's the royal diadem of heaven. Amen. The most valuable, the crown royal of I mean he is the royal, he is the most precious thing in heaven. And he's meeting with a demonic man. That demonic man, I'm gonna be honest with you, I know how he feels. Praise God, I don't care what anybody thinks anymore. Because I know where I came from, and I know where I'm at now. He was sitting there going, I don't care what anybody in this town thinks of me. I was out of my... 5 minutes ago, the devil was running my life into the ground. I wanted to die more than I wanted to live. Praise God, y'all can have everything. I've got everything. Man, I love this. Sometimes we want to, if you ever get Jesus in your life, you won't have to worry about your self-esteem. You won't have to worry about your worth. Because you'll realize real quick, if God loves me enough to come after me and seek me and save me, praise God, I must be worth something. Amen? I must be valuable to God. And God will remind you, you are valuable to me. Good gosh. I can preach right there. Everybody in this room, you need to hear this. You are valuable to God. If you're drawing a breath, if you're hearing this on a recording, you are valuable to God. And there ain't nobody more invaluable than you are. There's nobody more valuable than you are. There ain't nobody. God ain't got no big eyes and little U's. He ain't got somebody who, man, that guy right there, he is somebody. Or that guy right there is somebody. No, God says, they're all somebodies to me. I died for all of them. When God landed on the Gadarene shore, he did not show up just to save the Gadarene man. He didn't show up just to heal the Gadarene man, the demonic man. He showed up thinking, if everybody would get saved, I would save everybody. But if only one wants it, one will get it. What? Do y'all ever want to shout or anything? If one wanted it, one will get it. Praise God, stop worrying about everybody else. If you want it, get it. If you want a great relationship, great ministry, if you want to do something great for God, stop waiting for the Calvary to show up. He already did. He already showed up. The Calvary is Jesus. And if nobody else goes with you, go with Jesus. I mean, he's sitting there at his feet going, this is the best day ever. Whole town's upside down. He didn't care. The whole town was upside down yesterday for him. Man, I love it. Don't y'all just love this stuff, though? This is the kind of stuff that gets me. I've preached this a blue million times, and I feel like it's the first time I've ever preached it. It's amazing to me. Verse 36, they also which saw it told them by what means he had, but the told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. They even told him what happened. Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes, round about, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear, and he went up into the ship and returned back again. God, I love that verse. That drives me nuts every time I read it. The whole town's out there. They could have had the biggest revival you've ever seen. But what'd they do? Please leave. It blows my mind every time I read. It's like I read it for the first time. I'm sitting there going, why in the world would they turn the answer away? We do it all the time. We see people get saved, born again, get on fire for God. And that thing could jump around the room. It'd go all over the place. No. We do it on Sundays here. Somebody will get happy in the Lord and went, well, they better calm down. That thing get on me. The scripture says it jumps from breastplate to breastplate. I think some people turn their chin on, but don't want to jump on me, man. I might lose control. My mascara might run. I might scream. I might do something. People think I'm crazy. Well, we already think you're crazy. I wish you'd just prove it. Amen? Well, I'm so serious. And you say, well, what do you want from? I don't want anything from. I just want you to be obedient to the Spirit of God. Be obedient to the Spirit of God. You might see some stuff you never thought you'd see in the Lord. Would you please? And you know what I like about this more than anything else? Did you notice anything about Jesus? Did y'all see that Jesus, did he strike the crowd down? Did he argue with them? He got in a boat. That breaks my heart too. He got in a boat. We don't want you. Okay. Somebody else down the road will. Amen. Man, ain't that sad. Some of us wonder, why ain't God here? Why ain't he there? Because we've asked him to leave. If he leaves, he leaves. Verse 38, now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him. God, I love that he might be with him. And Jesus sent him away saying, please, come on, man, let me go with you. These people are out of my mind. I don't want to stay here. This is a demon man begging to go with Jesus. Begging him, please don't leave me here. God, please don't leave me here. God, have y'all ever felt that way? Take me home, Jesus. The demonic man's looking at him. Come on, man. Y'all don't like this. I love this guy. Man, I got a whole different thought. I think he got in the boat. I do. I think he got in the boat, and he's sitting back on that back row, and he's sitting back there. Jesus walked over to him. Hey, man, you're going to have to get out. No. You've heard me say this before. Leave Judas here. I don't trust that guy. I've seen enough devils in my life. I know he's one of them. Amen. I know it. I just see it a little bit different, but praise God. Jesus, take me with you. You can use me. Have you ever wanted to do something that Jesus didn't want you to do? Have you ever, you have a plan in your eye, in your mind, this is what I want to do, and God's like, no, I got a different plan for you. Amen? God, I can't wait. I hope we get to heaven, and there is a book of almost ministries for Kevin. Amen? I want to laugh at him with Jesus because I know he laughed at me. I'm going to do this and this and this. Yeah, you are. No, you ain't. All right? Now the man out of whom the devils departed besought him that he might go with him, and Jesus sent him away saying, now listen to verse 39. Watch this. This is really good, and I'm going to end here. I promise. Verse 39. Return to thine own house and show how great things God hath done unto thee. That's red letter. Go back to your own home, go back to your own place, and show what I have done in your life. That's all God's asking us to do. I hear people all the time, how do I do this? What do I do that? What did Jesus do in your life? Share that. Just whatever he did, if he saved you, just tell him how you did it. Simple. It ain't complicated. Here's my favorite part, though. Verse 39, it's my favorite part. He don't owe his sin nothing. He don't owe not one of them devils nothing. Watch this right here. And he went his way. Good God Almighty. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. God. He was demon-possessed just 20 minutes ago. Stark naked, bloody, living in the tombs, broke out of jail, wanted to go with Jesus. Jesus said, stay here. Your minister, best minister's here. You know what he was saying? Ain't nobody going to be able to argue with you. When you walk around in your right mind, ain't nobody going to argue with you. Amen? You know what he said? I can do that. What do you think he said? How do you think that went down? Who you think? Here's one for you right here. Sammy Joe, this is one for you right here. Who you think you are? You know you're going. If you've ever done anything for Jesus, if you ever start doing anything for Jesus, somebody in your family or somebody you think you used to love or care about is going to say this to you. Who do you think you are? Here's the answer. I know exactly who I was. I was a low-down, no-good, sin-filled, devil-filled idiot living up in them tombs. And one day, a boat came up on shore, and there was a man who was stronger than ever devil that ever lived in me, ever sin I'd ever committed, and he showed up, and I ran to him, and he cast them out. He put me in my right mind, clothed me, sat at his feet, told me what to do, and that's what I've been doing ever since. That's what happened. And that's what'll be happening until the day I draw my last breath and I'll see that man again. That's all you got to do is tell him what happened to you. When they say, who do you think you are? Why do you think you're so special? Well, I don't think I'm special. I just know Jesus showed up in my life one day. He's special. So I'm just going to tell everybody about him. It really ain't about me. It's just my story. If you are saved, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, be Spirit-led and live unto the salvation unto Jesus, because you don't owe anything to your sinful life in your flesh. Let's all stand.